Hey, everybody, this is Darren Pinchback. Thanks for your time and attention. This is AV Power Up, and have a good time.
Hi, everybody, this is Mike Shin. Thank you for tuning in to AV Power Up.
Hi, this is Sandy Charlo. Happy to be here. Welcome.
And welcome indeed. And I am Corey Moss at CB Moss, and you are listening to AV Power Up here on Rave Radio. Let's get things rolling with the second half of the 2016 AV Power Up season. We have a crew tonight. We have our buddy Darren Pinchback. We have Mike Shin. He has been with us before as guest crew, but tonight we have a brand new crew member. Her name is Sandy Charlo from Advanced AV in Pennsylvania, not too far away from where Mr. Shin is, as a matter of fact. In fact, right now, she's not very far away from where Mr. Shin is sitting.
I'm actually going to her house now.
Mike's heading over to Sandy right now. Sandy, you know, one big thing, you know, one of those lovable guys in the industry. We all know him. You work for him. You guys call him Pop-Pop, don't you?
Yes, we do. Oh, he is a wonderful guy.
Now, why does everybody call him Pop-Pop?
Huh? I can't go into that. That if I tell you, I'd have to kill you.
Oh. You know, you're not the first one to threaten that. Just so you know, I'm still alive. Yeah. I don't know how so many people.
I think that would be more interesting if you get Pop-Pop to go ahead and tell you that story.
Oh, I tell you what, when Pop-Pop's on the show next time, we will get him too. So Sandy works for Advanced AV, and I'm sure if you don't know who Pop-Pop is, you can probably figure it out. If not, when he's on the next show, we'll make sure he tells us why. So tonight, we have four guests. Tonight's one of those shows where the number of guests matches the number of crew members, where the crew members usually outmatch the guests. However, you know, before we get to them, we'll do a little sponsor spot. Our sponsor is Ingram Micro. Yes, wait for it, Mike.
He got Ingram. It. There it is. He got
nice.
It.
Nice. Congratulations.
I got it on the first try, didn't I? I've only been doing this for so long. Ingram Micro, for your AV and IT needs, Ingram Micro at ingrammicro.com. Use the W's. Don't use the W's. They're disposable these days. So, you know, there you go. ingrammicro.com. That is a Rave Radio sponsor. And now we are going to introduce our guests. We have first from Oblong Industries, Dave Schwartz. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Next from BiAmp, we have Jake Corlett. How are you, Jake?
Hey, doing well. Happy to be here.
Oh, excellent. You're in Toronto, aren't you?
I am indeed. I am a road warrior, so they say. And I'm calling A. Exactly.
Yeah.
I got my Canadian lingo down by now.
Yeah. Well, there are a few other things you can say in Canadian, but we'll work on that.
Okay. Absolutely.
We have some Canadian friends that come on this show. They may be impressed if you do.
A.
No pressure.
Hey.
Right.
next, we have from Bluescape, Chris Bledsoe. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing fantastic. I come to you from beautiful Napa, California.
Oh.
Where the great wine flows.
Wouldn't we all want to be there?
Yeah.
But well, actually, we want to be sitting on Sandy's patio right now. Because
with a glass.
The exactly. Combination of the two.
You're looking with that.
refreshments too. What do you know? Yeah, that's where we all want to be right now. And last, our last guest is from AV Stumpful. Kevin Zefchik, how are you, Kevin?
I am fine and dandy.
Oh, fine and dandy is great to be on this show.
We have two guests plus one.
Two guests plus one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it sounded like when he said fine and dandy. Sorry.
It's Kevin, fine and dandy. Oh, I get it. Okay. You know, I'm glad I bring you along with me, Kevin. I really am.
Just so we it was a really small joke. It snuck in there. I apologize. Yeah.
I know. Somebody right now is showing us how small that joke is.
Yeah, it's tiny. Very tiny.
Right there. If this was a video show, you'd see just how small that joke was.
Pretty sure the red light is blinking. Like, okay, you're off.
Yeah. That's exactly
sorry,
right.
Kevin.
That's exactly right. So if you can only imagine. But anyway, what we're doing tonight is we have guests from my disruptive top 10 on Rave Pubs. It went out last Friday. So basically, these are companies that I saw at Infocom, and there are more companies. And just a little, some by next week, there will be more of those companies joining us next week on the show. But tonight we have four of them. So basically, my disruptive top 10 started 2 years ago. I went to Infocom, and you know, it was something that I just decided to do because others, what happened is basically others do top 10s. I decided to do mine as disruptive because that's kind of the, you know, what the language was then, things that I was talking about. So I decided to take that angle. It went out very well. Last year I did it again. I went a little broader in terms of what I looked for. And again, that did very well. This year, it's funny because I always like to give myself more work than the year before. So kind of as we saw with AV Power Up at the show, with the fun fest that we had that Mike was there for, I decided to kind of go a little bigger this year. So, you know, booth videos were involved, a little more descriptive and all. And, you know, so that went out Friday. And again, that's been generating pretty well out there in the environment on social media as well. So at this point, what I wanted was to do two shows and invite some of those disruptive top 10 companies and guests from them. So what we're going to do at this point is I want to start with Oblong. So Oblong Industries, they did become my number one pick at the show. And basically Oblong, they basically talk about the future of work is here. All right. And there are other companies that talk about the future of work, but I tell you what, Dave, why don't you go into that, talk about how the future of work and what mezzanine is all about with that. Plus there's the main concept of it and it has to do with a movie.
That's right. So thanks for the nod and the just making us a disruptor. I think that it's an amazing category, and we're really excited to be part of the list. What I'd like to talk about is, you know, what we're trying to think about is how do we move away from the concept that there's one presenter, one person who's in charge of discussing what's going on, and moving more towards the concept that information needs to flow onto these screens, and the data might be coming from one person's computer, another person's computer in the room, people outside the room, or across the world. And how do you see all of the right pieces of information at the right size and placement the moment you need to? And we've kind of come at it from more of a gestural point of view. How do you sort of point and across a room sort of say, I want that to make this point bigger. I want to take this and literally sort of gesture and make something large and across the right screens, or move it to the side and get it out of the way, or pull a side point that we parked earlier and bring that right into the main part of the conversation where we are. And we think that's going to change the way meetings run.
So Dave, I have a quick question for you, actually.
You got it.
Knowing the Hollywood, startings for your organization, how did you transition from, you know, the on-screen impression of being a touch interface into being more of a wand, you know, Wii-like experience? I'm just curious.
Yeah, so there was a couple pieces that came in the movie side, right? There was the actual glove-based system. There was some touch aspects to it. What was interesting originally in the movie Minority Report, when they were talking about the future and gesture and those kinds of ideas, you know, John, our CEO and founder and science advisor for the movie, said, you know, I don't need to put gloves on Tom Cruise's character, because by the year 2054, we'll be able to track hands without gloves. And the production designers were like, no, the gloves look cool. And he's like, well, I could use gloves, then I can make that happen today.
Yeah, I mean the gloves are easy to begin with. I'm more curious, you know, knowing some of the competitors in the marketplace, some of the products that are out on the marketplace, you know, 10-finger, 15-finger touch is everything this day and age. How did you guys decide to instead step away from that kind of a model and move towards a wand model?
Yeah. So one of the things that we think about is, I would say that we do support touch, but it's sort of a local device. So, you know, you can control it from your phone, your iPad, tablet.
That's true.
We do think that touch has a place, and we do support touch. But conceptually, what we're trying to say is that as the price of pixels goes down, you're going to end up with bigger and wider and taller and displays on floors and across, you know, big venues. And all of a sudden, how are you going to reach those and control them if you've got a 20-foot wall? You can't use touch if as sort of you're spreading more and more pixels. So what we envisioned was there will be a day when it's not six displays on the wall or 12 displays on the wall or whatever number of displays you're thinking about. There's just pixels everywhere. And when that day comes, how do I take
some? It's just the wall. Like just the wall. What we read about in Fahrenheit 451. Just saying.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's some downside to that. But yeah, for sure, the concept is as you get further and I'm looking, you know, out through a you know, plate glass to another wall, how do I get something to that space? And from our point of view, we think that that's an important part to get right as well. What does that user experience feel like? But yes, there is a place for touch in the way people operate.
I just think it was a brilliant move on your part, actually, because of so much of the industry moving towards a touch interface. Talk about engaging young people in the industry. You're giving them a controller, which they're very familiar with understanding how this works.
That's right. Good point.
And I applaud that approach. And I think the Mezzanine product is absolutely phenomenal. I agree with Corey's assessment in putting it on the list.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mike, because when you talk about that, putting control in your hands and, you know, the days of having to go up to it and touch it and, you know, it's still there, you know, and you talk about the 10, the 15 touch points and all of that is fine, but you know, this now extends it so much further at this point, what they do with Mezzanine. And I got to tell you, Dave, the next thing is something that we had heard from we had Mike on a few weeks ago, and we talked about the concept of infopresence,
right?
So that's another big key to Mezzanine. So tell us a little bit about infopresence.
Yeah, it's, you know, from our perspective, it's that idea that it's not the data in the room sort of getting up on the screens only, but it's the concept, and it's not this room projecting out to other rooms, but that information can flow across spaces. So if you take the concept of a telepresence room that a lot of people have been in, where you feel like you're in the room or you're looking face to face with someone, what we're interested in sort of addressing is how do you deal with working side by side with other people's data, even if those people aren't in the room with you? And from our perspective, that has to do with getting the correct piece of information to flow exactly next to where you need it, even if you don't, you know, sort of control that, the underlying application that's running on it, or if it's not in the room. And when you start to think about that problem set, we think that it's all of these other big problems that people are talking about, like, big data or Internet of Things. Those are a lot of applications that are generating a lot of information sets and noise, and maybe it's relevant, maybe it's not, but how do you get all of the different views of that data up where people can sort of see it and make informed decisions? And that's where we think the concept of an infopresence applies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. You know, we're going to get back to you, Dave, but what I'm going to do is get to my next one on the list, and that was BiAmp. As a matter of fact, you know what? I'll call him number two. Let's even call him 1.5. Okay.
Thanks for that, Corey.
So, Mike, what are we calling that product?
Tessera.
Yeah. No, we need to.
Oh, you got to do that again, Mike. Come on, one more time. Come on,
my head exploded.
Use your audacity skills, Corey. Send me that snippet.
Okay. Let's do that.
Is everyone ready for this one?
Do it again. Yeah.
To Sarah.
Oh, you need a theme song with that one.
Right? Yeah. You know, I think we could actually do a theme with just Mike repeating in a loop.
To Sarah.
Terrible marketing ideas, go.
You know, we lost we lost our singer, Hope Roth, but you could very well replace her in that category.
No, trust me, you do not want me in that
category. No, you're right, we don't. We saw her, we watched her sing at karaoke night.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't want you doing that.
Not good.
No, definitely not. Jake Corlett from BiAmp is going to talk about that product. And the big deal with that is putting the V in AVB. You got a, you know, really a lot of notoriety at the show, and even prior to basically reading this, BiAmp System adds Network 4K video to the award-winning Tessera platform. You've got me singing, like, my God.
yeah.
Can I just say Tessera? Would that work?
You can say Tessera. Tessera
is, you know, that could be a great Lux car name. Is
what we're talking yeah. about.
It could be.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to marketing there. We're going to tell them to everybody to repeat Tessera.
I just want Michael Frank to hear me saying Tessera Lux, Tessera Forte, and Tessera Server. There we go.
You just did. There you go. Yeah. So Tessera Lux supports low latency video over the network with AVB TSN. And sure enough, showed it at Infocom. It was a big win for you guys, and it certainly made my list. So go ahead, Jake. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, I mean, for us, Biomps, we've been touting ourselves sort of as a network media company for the last couple of years. But, you know, obviously we've been primarily focused on the audio bit of that network media. So, you know, we've had it in mind for a while to bring the video to our portfolio to sort of widen the breadth of our offering. And but you know, it's partly, I guess the biggest part of why we chose AVB in the long run is because we can get deterministic audio and video across the enterprise network with low latency and guarantee the bandwidth across the network. So so for at the show for us, it was really talking about the platform. We're taking Tessera and really, again, expanding it and making it a true platform. So we've got not only audio processing, but the video processing part now as well, and amplification and some other things too. So we're trying to, you know, get it all under one umbrella. So one piece of software, you create, design, and deploy your systems under the Tessera umbrella. So it's a really powerful message. Not too many are playing in that space right now. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, the other part of what we were doing at the show is really showing, you know, everybody wants 4K 60 uncompressed video, but really we're saying we can give you that, but there's a cost associated with that. Mm-hmm. Not only dollars and cents, but network, you know, bandwidth, infrastructure, yeah, what is it really?
That's right. That's right.
So it's great. It's a cool technology, but we are showing some really high compression rate video going over the network, and people were pretty flabbergasted. So, you know, visual acuity and really where 4K fits in, that's what we're also sort of preaching there as well. So, yep.
Yeah.
So Jake, no, I'm go ahead.
Go ahead, Darren.
Yeah. So it's funny you bring this up because again, I had mentioned earlier, I'm reviewing some drawings for a new system that I'll be maintaining. I've got two of your servers, and you know, my coworkers were like, you know, what are we going to do with this stuff? And I'm, you know,
well, part of the big disruption for us too is Cisco announced really came out in the public and said, hey, you know, we've been dabbling in this AVB thing for a while, but now we've got switches and we're showing them. We actually had a couple of them on display at our booth, and we had three people from Cisco sort of rotating in and out, talking about their presence in AVB. And that was a powerful message for us because, you know, okay, you gave us video over AVB, and what are we connected to? So now we've got Catalyst series switches that support the infrastructure that we need to push, you know, high bandwidth video and audio across the network. So, sorry to interrupt your thought about the project, but yeah, certainly that's what it's geared for. So.
Yeah, no, Jake, you guys have a great offering. I'm just excited to see it. But moreover, I think you know, this is the new push, is to get video on the network where, you know, we don't have these big issues of, you know, expanding your infrastructure or whatever the cost. Mm-hmm. So it's that golden triangle, you know, that we can all talk about. So I'm just wondering, like, at the engineering level, you know, how smart do you have to be? Like, you know, where are you guys?
You know, sure. Yeah. I mean,
what's the mojo?
Well, part of the beauty of AVB is that the devices and the infrastructure are cognizant of their behavior as an AVB device. So you can plug stuff in and it will sort of say, hey, I'm an AVB device. I speak the same language. Let's start talking. So do you have to be a network guru to deploy a Tessera system? No, but is there potential things that you might have to interface, you know, issues that you might come across on the network? Of course, it's a network. So there are always things that may need to be taken care of. But from our technology standpoint, you deploy it just like you would a Forte, you know, a Tessera Forte system or anything else But yeah, of course, there's always network considerations. And again, that's where, you know, the Catalyst series switches are the most, you know, probably the most prominent enterprise switch out there. So, but that's the party about, that's the beauty about ABB, excuse me, that sort of this, you know, this common common protocol between all the devices. So.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what, Jake, we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
The next one, this company also puts things up on the big display. So anyway, the story here with Bluescape is I met with them a few months back down in sunny Tampa, Florida, where I was so happy to be when it was cold here in DC Metro. And along with my relaxation and my suntan, I actually attended an event put together by AVISPL, great event, and met with some excellent vendors down there. And one of them just happened to be Bluescape. Now, my story there is I was heading to a meeting where I was a little late for, but I had to stop and see what they had. And I ended up being late, but thankfully the meeting didn't start yet. But I was highly impressed with what I saw that Bluescape brought to the table. So, better work by design. Bluescape helps teams create better products. So why don't we just jump right off of that. Tell us all about it, Chris Bledsoe.
Absolutely. Thank you, first of all, having me on AV Power Up. Really appreciate that. And also highlighting us as one of the disruptive technologies. Every good story, every good company has a great origin story. So in the same way you have radioactive spiders that create Spider-Man, we have our own kind of origin story where basically we're holding on subsidiary of a company called Hayworth. So Hayworth's one of the top three furniture manufacturers in North America, and they had a problem. They were designing physical chairs. And so as they were designing these chairs, they kind of did it in the classic design methodology where you kind of take all these pictures, you put them up on the wall, you tape them up, you put note cards on them and stuff like that. And then you get all this great interaction in the meeting. And then when you're all said and done, you take out your smartphone and then take a picture of it, right? But the problem is it ends there. Like when the meeting's over, you're kind of done. And unless you got a dedicated space, it's kind of hard to pull up that content again. So they thought, you know, there had to be a better way of doing that. And that was the birth of Bluescape, right? It's this idea that I can create this digital canvas that I can interact with, that I can put all my assets on. So basically, Bluescape helps companies create better products faster because it's a visual platform where you can see the big picture. So you can zoom out to like 10,000 feet or zoom all the way down to the individual object and see the design concepts as they're evolving and growing and iterating. And so that's kind of our beginnings. We're really focused mostly on like design, whether it's user experience, user interface, anything that requires people to have a visual design aspect. That's where people like to see it. The thing is, kind of like what Corey was saying, is when people see Bluescape for the first time, they see this huge interactive display. And they're like, oh, that's cool. It's all this interactive activity. The beauty with Bluescape is that you don't actually have to have the interactive wall to use it. It's kind of like when you do a presentation. So think about PowerPoint. In a PowerPoint, what do? You sit down on your laptop, you get on there, and you start building your presentation and building all the, you pull in all your visual content. And then when you're ready to have a meeting and have people talk about it and review it and discuss it and all that, you kind of make it available. And that's what we do. So you can use Bluescape exclusively on your laptop or on your iPad or your smartphone. And then when you're ready to have a meeting, you can send it to the interactive display. The other thing that we try to do and what we announced actually at Infocom is we're expanding the number of interactive displays. We don't make our displays. We rely on third-party vendors, right? Before the conference, we had Multitaction for a tiled wall, 3M, and Planar, which is probably very well known. And at Infocom, we announced Sharp. So Sharp's Aquas board, their 84-inch touch capacitance. But the fun one, the interesting one, is this company you probably never heard of called Optica Display. And what Optica Display did is they embedded a bezel for the touch interface from another company called Flat Frog. And you know how in Austin Powers, you know, you want a laser on the shark? they run a laser through the glass.
Do you know how many times we've had that on this show? Lasers.
I don't think you understand the pinwheel heads that watch this show. I'm just saying, we understand.
They get it, yes.
Making notes for product management.
Right. Right, exactly.
Use a Z or an X.
To Sarah Laser.
Hey, Chris, on the homepage, we have to have sharks with lasers on there.
Okay. So the fun part is, a lot of these touch displays, you've probably seen a ton of them from a lot of vendors. You have to get like these special pens, right? And these pens can be kind of expensive, right? Anywhere from $5 to up to $100. What's interesting about this Optica display is all you need is a chopstick. A chopstick to interact and draw on this wall. So literally what they did is they came with these little sharpened pencils that had no lead, and you could draw on it with a stick. And you're like, how cool is that, right? Just using a stick to draw on the screen and then your finger to move stuff around. And it was like, how cool is that? You only need a piece of wood to make it all work. So that was our big nuts. But our focus is around design. People who have a high visual aspect, they love our stuff. And then just for, grin and giggles, we added audio video into the product as well. So you can actually leverage WebRTC. I mean, you can use it with Skype for business and all that other stuff. But we kind of built that in there as well. So
audio and video is always a good option. I got to tell you, Chris, always a good option for stuff. And by the way, you said chopstick. I haven't eaten yet. I'm getting hangry now. So,
system, right? If you've got all of these chopsticks, so if you're frying and all of a sudden you get hungry, you just take your two things and you start using it like chopsticks.
I get it.
Right? Yeah. So, do you want to eat with your lunch or draw on the wall? Either way, we make it work.
Right? Hey, Chris, how would you like to be a crew member, huh? You liking this, huh?
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, the funny part is that we do this audio aspect, but I see everybody's video, and it's like, I love that part of it, seeing everyone.
The missing link.
Darren, we may have another crew member. Let's see. Anyway, this is all good stuff with Bluescape, and interestingly enough, I do go around looking for the solutions. Now, I'd seen Bluescape before, and it was at the tail end of the show that I did get to meet with them and, good people, and saw the solution there, and, definitely one of the top 10 picks, no question about it. We'll get back to you, Chris. Kevin Zefchik with AV Stumpfel, and again, we say AV Stumpfel because they are an Austrian company. The product, Wings Engine Raw 8K. And I have to say, Kevin, I was just highly impressed. Now, it was featured at ISE for the first time, Wings Engine Raw 8K, brought to the United States for the first time at Infocom. And when I walked into the booth, I have to say, it was just, I marveled at it, I must say. And you'll tell us all about the technology, what goes into it. And go ahead, Kevin, tell us all about it.
Yeah, so AV Stumpfel is, as you say, an Austrian-based company, and we have a long history of multi-display. Actually, we just celebrated our 40-year birthday last October. And so we went all the way back to before digital video was even a thing, and the founder of our company, Reinhold Stumpfel, which is where the name comes, he developed display devices or controllers that would correlate multiple slide projection systems together so that you can synchronize them or blend them and such. So that he has a long history of multi-display. And so once the digital video started becoming mainstream, then we developed our software, our first version of our software called Wings. And then that's gone through 8 iterations now, and we incorporated show control into it, and now with our newest iteration of our software called Wings RX, we have developed something new to us. It's a kind of a niche industry. There's not many contenders in it right now, but it's a fully uncompressed playback system. With up to 8K resolution, So the new system, Wings RX, plays back uncompressed, completely uncompressed. This comes from picture sequences, which can be exported from all of the recording devices out there. It's a complete raw format, and it plays it back at 60 frames per second. In fact, we're actually working on going up to 120 frames per second on it. So the server that we debuted in Infocom, which was its first time in the US, and it debuted in ISC for our international debut, was the 8K system. So this is a single server with 4x4K outputs, and it makes a single 8K image. Now, what sets us apart from all of our competitors, or a couple of our competitors, like I said, it's a small industry, is that we also have the ability built into our server to do automatic warp and blend of the projection images. So if you've seen our booth, you saw the giant curved screen that was suspended from the truss.
Yep.
And then we had 4x of our one of our partners, Digital Projection. They loaned us 4x of their 4K laser projectors. So we had these laser projectors in a portrait array, and they were blended and warped together. Now, the great thing about that is that blending and warping process took us about 2.5 minutes to do. Because what we do is we use a camera system. You know, place a camera, a fixed camera, in front of the projection display, and after about 2.5 minutes, then the camera, the system software, the software automatically warps and blends these projection images together, and then you have a perfect 8K resolution display in just a matter of moments. So this is very, very nice almost imperative for the integration installation industry, for facilities to keep their projection in alignment. We work on a lot of installations, and now that projectors are becoming solid state, you still have a little bit of maintenance to do to the projection. And you still have the drift that happens in projections. So having the built-in calibration system is, like I said, imperative to have there. So the facility doesn't have to send up grids to all the projectors, align them up by hand, and then go back into the show. That's a tedious process that takes hours. Now they push a button, camera sends out the series of light bursts across all the projectors, and then automatically warps and blends it. And it's all set and ready to go.
You know, I got to say, Kevin, so the guests on the show, all right, are smiling ear to ear. And it's interesting because just the description of what happened in the booth, and again, I was there, I saw it. For those of you who are listening who did see AV Stumpfel and Wings Engine Raw 8K, people here are smiling just hearing the description. I can only imagine that what you saw amazed you. And it's certainly, like I said, it was a marvel seeing it in the booth. Kevin, I guess what I want to say is, what did you feel the reaction? You know, you showed it for the first time at ISC. You brought it here to Infocom. For me, it's interesting. You know, the solutions I put out in the disruptive top 10, I wanted to vary. Wings Engine Roy K was a little bit of a vary for me, but I really just felt it definitely had to be there. How was everything for you guys at Infocom?
Well, we were well received. I mean, when you have something of that magnitude, the power. The people just are amazed by it, and the clarity of the imagery that we had up on that screen, and you could walk right up to the screen, and we demonstrated that quite a few times, is because we had screens sitting on the floor, projection screens, and we had a single HD projection on it, and so we would ask people, walk towards that screen and tell me when you can start seeing pixels. And it was really, I mean, they were 10 feet away or so before they start seeing pixels. We'd ask them to do the same thing with the screen that we had on the floor, which is, you know, 8,000 pixels wide in there. And they almost put their nose up against the screen before they start seeing the pixels. Mm-hmm. So the lifelike of it. And it's just, like I said, the magnitude of the display is amazing. I mean, we had $750,000 in projection by itself on that floor. It didn't account for the screen or the technology playing it. That's just projection alone. So that's a wow booth and well received. And like I said, ISE was great to have there. We showed a beta version of the hardware at LDI last year in the U.S. At IAPA last year in Orlando. We had 3x4K display. Yeah, for Infocom, we decided to go for the full blast and went the full 8K people were very impressed with it. It was a very good reception for us.
You know, Kevin, I actually applaud the idea of you guys just jumping directly into the next level with 8K. You know, some people will actually argue at this point that 4K is dead, which is comical because we only started talking about it 18 months ago.
Which has gotten here.
But
I'm waiting for 16K personally.
Yeah. 16K, yeah.
AV Stumpfel's bringing that too soon, trust me. So.
And I know that a certain company that manufactures some cell phones and cell phone displays is already working on an 11K type display. I like the fact that you're pushing the industry. You're pushing everybody towards the forward look of, yeah, guess what? Yeah, 4K's here. Remember 720? How long does 720 last? Right? You know, so everybody needs to, you know, keep looking forward. I really appreciate that. And I think your product does an excellent job of that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Mike. It really is. And you're right. 4K, 8K, it's here. It's dead technology, really. So we've talked to our guests. We're going to get back to you. But Sandy Charlo, how you doing?
Yes, I'm doing good.
Are you enjoying yourself here?
I am.
Yeah? I am. So that is a beautiful scene behind you, I must say. We all have to do an outside AV power-up next time.
Yeah, I need to smoke a cigar underneath that heater. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, we're all heading out to Sandy's place after we're done here.
He's got a 7,000 BTU shop heater back there.
Yeah, I must tell you. But, you know, Sandy, you know, tell us a little bit about what you do in terms of, you know, and I guess what you're hearing tonight, kind of what you handle and, you know, and all of that.
Sure. So, you know, pretty much I do, I'm on the service side over at Advanced AV. And pretty much, you know, aside from being a jack of all trades and being there when someone needs something, pretty much just helping out the client. You know, they have an issue. We want to make sure that everything is working, you know, to the full capacity, that their experience is 100%, you know, satisfaction. Customer service is exactly where, you know, where that needs to be. Mm-hmm. And pretty much, you know, at the same time with service, I think is pretty much getting that relationship together and making sure that, you know, you look at, you know, your clients is, and customers, not just a client or customer, but building that relationship, you know, and really caring about, you know, what they need and what they want and listening to them.
And it's such an important end, you know, where the integrators are concerned, such an important end of their business, but of course the manufacturers too, because, you know, they have their customer service. They have to be able to be on the spot for their partners, for the integrators. So, you know, it goes all ways with that. So it's a very valuable thing that you do, Sandy. There's no question about it. Stacy Kringlin, who does the show, she does that for, you know, for Vadio as well. And that's on the manufacturer side. So, you know, very key, no question about it. And again, we'll talk to that guy one day and he'll tell us about the great job you do. How's that sound?
That sounds great. I mean, you know, as always, I mean, you know, when with any company, you know, you work as a team. And in all different departments, and I think that's
great. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mike Shin.
So I actually got my start on the integrator level with my current employer, who I won't mention, as the service manager. Okay. I came from an end user world into the service management world, and Customer service is what continues to drive sales year after year after year. There is no doubt about that at all. When it comes to, you know, getting somebody to buy a product that could be $5,000 or $500,000 or $2 million, whatever it is, it comes down to what happens after the integration. What happens to the support? What happens to the people that they need to have the relationship with? So, Sandy, I think you're in an extremely influential position, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck. Other than trying to steal our customers.
Yeah, we'll keep that under wraps. And I got to tell you, I was in AV integration sales for over 15 years, so of course I know. And I did a lot of it myself too, dealing with the customer on both the sales and the customer service end. So, you know, I certainly know what goes into it, what it takes, and how important it is on that side. So, you know, definitely identify. We're going to move on with the second part of this, but before we do, we have that thing that we do on every show, and that is, no, we did that already, Mike.
He had a note too.
The other
damn,
note,
I actually was ready.
The other note. I was like, I thought it was time again.
Well, you missed that. Oh, no. Well, if I do that again, you know, I don't do it twice, just once. No, it is time for the Tier PM Hot Jobs spot. Yeah, that's it, Mike.
Close.
Close enough, right.
Hi, Marina.
Yeah, Marika, but you were close on that too. Time to mute.
Wah, wah.
But it's all good. So yes, for Marika, here are the hot jobs. Job number 591, AV installation technician in Boston, Massachusetts. Hey, Mike, how do you say Boston?
You park the car in Harvard Yard in Boston.
There you go. So if you want to park your car in Harvard Yard, you may want this job. The ideal candidate will have at least 3 to 5+ years of experience working on commercial integration projects and of exceptional customer. There you go. Look at that, Sandy.
Look at that.
You must have exceptional customer service skills. Or you hire Sandy. Well, no. Okay. We'll talk.
No, she didn't hire the boss. No.
The cop's going to love that one, Corey.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll be a direct message in the morning. Way to go, buddy.
Yeah, as soon as this show posts, he's going to be giving a call to me. No question about it. You must have knowledge of commercial and construction methods such as ceiling deck construction, wall framing, and structural engineering. Experience in configuring and troubleshooting control systems, Crestron, AMX, and Nextron is required. Must have experience installing AV equipment and experience with racking, fabricating, and mounting. Pulling, crimping, terminating cables, and connecting components as required by blueprints and designs. So that is job number 591, AV installation technician. So, Sandy, I tell you what, you have the customer service skills. If you can just have the troubleshooting control system, you can trust troubleshoot control systems, okay, and, you know, do the fabricating, mounting, pulling, crimping, terminating cables, and all, you got this job.
That's a lot of work, man.
That is a lot of work, but you know what? I'm sure that there's someone that's out there that's fit for it.
I did it all, brother.
Oh. But you don't have the customer service skills, Darren.
I have excellent customer service skills.
Yeah, sure you do.
What's my job now?
That is job number 591, AV installation technician, again, in Boston, Massachusetts. Job number 589, AV project engineer, also in Boston, Massachusetts. Seeking candidates with at least 2 to 5 years of commercial integration related experience in the capacity of a design system or project engineer. Significant drafting experience using AutoCAD or similar drafting CAD software is required. Must have experience with wired or wireless data networks required to support video conferencing, VoIP audio conferencing, and control system networking, as well as experience with setup, configuration, and troubleshooting of control systems. Any formal training from BIAMP. Got that one, Jake. Huh? That's first on the list.
Right?
Nice.
Attaboy. Man. Michael Frank is sinking in his coffee right now.
Yeah. I tell you what. BIAMP. Clear One. Polycom. Tanberg is a nice to have. CTS or CTSD or DMCE certification, nice to have. These two jobs and more you can possibly have if you go to TierPM, TierPM.com. Look up all the jobs. These are two hot jobs, but look them all up for sales, project management, engineering, and all of that. So again, TierPM.com. com. So here we go with the second part. Again, we are with four guests tonight, Oblong Industries, Bluescape, Biamp, and A.V. Stumpfel. And, you know, so going back to you, Dave, tell us how the show was for you guys.
I mean, it was a big hit for us. So, you know, it was a really nice one. A lot of shows when we first started, we were so new, people were confused about what it was. You know, so for a couple times we've done the show, people would say, I've never seen anything like this. What was nice about this one was people were coming back and saying, you know, I've been following this. This has been really interesting. We like where you're going. At the show this year, we showed the way to do remote participation. We call it Mez In, and it's the ability to not only share your screen from, you know, outside of the room, but also see and control everything through a web browser as an add-on. So we're starting to get to the pieces that people wanted to see along the way. They say, yeah, it's an in-room experience, and it's a room-to-room experience, but how do you bring in people who aren't in another one of those mezzanine rooms? And I think that was a really big hit for us.
Hey Dave, I meant to ask you this earlier, but you may have it figured out, but I'm wondering if you guys have started to look at developing a way for, you know, people's cell phones to be the wand.
You know, it's one of those things where it's an interesting aspect to it. There are a couple things we do custom work as well as the product piece. And early on, we used the cell phone in some of the custom pieces. There are some videos out there that you might see. There's some aspects to it where you can sense, you know, left, right, up, down, but you can't sense forward and backwards, which is important for us from a wand. You can cheat it by sort of sliding your thumb along the screen. And so it was one of those things where if you knew what you were doing, you could kind of fake a wand with a phone. But we found that there was probably different kinds of interactions that people would do with their phones, more along the touch, you know, sort of gesture swiping kind of ideas. So it's an interesting thing. But what's nice is basically everyone has an accelerometer in their pocket these days. Mm-hmm. So I do think that there is something interesting there. But for us, it's about getting the user interface and user experience just right. Because we think there's a difference between an okay experience and one that just feels natural. Like, there's a lot of people who will comment on when you pick up one of our wands and you grab one of the images and you start to move it, there's a line that sort of shows you where it's coming from and where it's going. And those kinds of pieces, getting that right, make people sort of feel like they understand how the system's working. And so that's one of the things that we really want to think about before we release it as a product.
And I think that's a very smart approach, Dave, because I can't tell you the number of times I have three monitors on my desk. I can't tell you the number of times that I'm like sliding going, where's my mouse?
Yeah.
Where did it happen? So, you know, keeping it easy for users and not having a, you know, a hard transition towards understanding how they're supposed to interface with the device and able to actually interface with the whole system is very important. And then on top of that, you know, that whole concept of making sure that everyone knows where they are. Because otherwise, you really get into conversations with some Fortune 1000 companies about, wait a minute, what if we don't want this content to slip over to this side or slip over to that side? You need to have that visual recognition to show exactly where you are at all times. So, I agree.
Thanks. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing. We do look at the tracking technology that people are developing as a company. So we look and see what are the gestural-based tracking systems that people are making. And we'll keep looking and saying, is it ready to go into the type of room that a lot of people are using mezzanine rooms in? So it's not that we think that this is the one and only way of controlling the room, but maybe, you know, other sensors aren't quite ready to run a corporate meeting.
So
Sorry, can I ask? Sure, go ahead.
Please.
You know, as from one manufacturer to another, your piece sounds very interesting, and unfortunately, I was not aware of it before the show. But that's only because I'm tied inside of a booth during Infocom myself.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
We have a lot of history with interactivity and large scale presentations as well from our media servers and for trade, not only trade shows but corporate events and such. And so we worked with a piece called Mayo, which is an armband that goes on GMS. So you're familiar with it, where it uses the muscle tenure and gyro and everything. Have you guys looked into something like that?
Yes, I know that we have some around. I know that our engineers have looked at that, and I think there may be some basic support in our software development kit. We have not looked at elevating that into the mezzanine product at this point.
Interesting. Yeah, we like it for ours, but it's as everything, it has its limitations and such. But it's an interesting device, if for nothing else, than to explain to people how it works. And it's just kind of a cool little device.
I agree. I think it's got some real potential. One of the things that we've thought about when it comes, because we actually built the glove-based systems originally, was you're essentially teaching someone a sign language, right? Mm-hmm. So it is a domain-specific language that people have to pick up when you say you're going to use your hands. And so the first thing you get, and people can't see this on the podcast, is people flailing their hands everywhere saying, it's not doing anything.
I don't know. I saw Chris doing it too, so
slow down.
Everybody likes to flail their hands on this.
They do. It's the first thing they do. So
we have to do a video one of these days so they can watch everybody flailing their hands.
First time I would do a phone call about mezzanine and a wand.
I got to tell you, when Mike was on the show, he was showing us behind him, and everybody was wowed. And I said, "This is too bad; it's not a video show. Everybody will love seeing this." But I tell you, I do appreciate that, Kevin. I do like when the guests, will ask the other guests questions, and that was a great one there. I got one question for you, though, Dave. How many times did somebody walk in your booth and the first thing they said was "Minority Report"?
You know, it's one of those things when I first joined the company, I've been with the company 5 years, so I've seen a lot of changes in the company, but I love the movie. I'm a geek, and so for me, it was just one of those things that resonated. And I kind of thought it was a smaller, not that successful film. So in my mind, I didn't think people knew about it. And when I would describe what we did or show it, it was one of those things where instantly people would be like, "It's a Minority Report." And we're like, "Funny, you should mention that." Mm-hmm. And so after a while, I kind of realized that even people who've never seen the movie understand the reference to it. They get the gesture aspect.
So my question, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, you have to be a Tom Cruise fan, I think,
Subliminal. It's all subliminal.
Yeah, if you are.
So my question would be, nowadays, do you get more of the, Iron Man?
People will say I didn't see Minority Report, but I know the gestural aspects.
Yeah.
The Iron Man one, I still get more Minority Report. There's something about Minority Report that really is in sort of the ether. When people, I don't know if you guys hear this all the time, but when we hear people say, they start describing any kind of conference room of the future, people will be like, I want it to be like Minority Report. Mm-hmm. It's like just what people sort of throw out there as the sort of, that's the future conference room.
Because it was one of the first times it was presented to the mass consciousness.
Yeah. I can almost imagine integrators going there, doing the presentation. The first thing that they do is sit everybody down and say, "Think Minority Report."
Yeah, exactly.
And just off of that, I mean,
yeah,
what would that be as a presentation,
Exactly. I just have Tom show up for us.
Yeah, and Tom Cruise.
Mr. Cruise, could you please demonstrate this for us?
Yeah. Well, that's the best strategy.
Then he's jumping up on the furniture and throwing the boardroom table. It's a scary thing.
He's running through the house in his underwear and sliding it.
It didn't go well the first time.
No.
But you could always take it a step further and say, "Think Minority Report with laser beams."
laser projector.
That's the way it goes. That's it. So, Jake Corlett, I got to tell you, that is the Biamps is one of the most amazing booths in the show. Although I have to talk about the stairs. So, I went over there and there's Bill. And he's upstairs, and I'm going, I have to climb the stairs to see you. I mean, it's a long day.
So, he was up on his pedestal up there.
Yes,
yes. Wait, hang on. I loved the stairs. I thought it was a very cool approach to visually presenting the booth.
Did you like running up and down the stairs, Mike? I mean, were you getting some exercise?
Corey, I didn't climb them. I said I looked at them.
Oh, you... I had to climb them, Mike.
Details.
Yeah, details. Oh. He likes the way they look.
My body type, you think I was climbing stairs on the show floor at Miles? I don't think
in Vegas?
He wasn't focused on his Fitbit stats, right? Yeah. He was just walking around.
Mike, I'm betting you had a meeting.
3.5 miles by the time I hit the Biamp booth. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen.
I'm betting they came to you for a meeting, Mike.
There was coffee on the end of those stairs, though. So there was a payoff when she
got there. Was.
No, there needed to be like a massage parlor on there. Well, not that kind of massage parlor.
Well, you are in Las Vegas.
You are in Vegas, so.
Yeah.
I want to be careful. At least you didn't have any boots, babe, so you're safe.
Yeah. Well, maybe Orlando. It doesn't make sense in Orlando. But anyway, we were talking about Biamp and a very impressive booth, one of the more impressive ones of the show. But, you know, Jake, tell us about Infocom and how all that went for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, Biamp's celebrating their 40th year of being in business this year. So it's not the first time we've had that booth, but certainly it is a very impressive booth. But, yeah, I mean, it's gangbusters. I've been with Biamp for about 6 years now, and I was there for the launch of Tessera and then Tessera Forte, and by far this was probably our busiest year at the booth. So, I know as manufacturers we're all chained to the booth for 3 days, but I literally had zero time to do anything but talk about what we were doing at the booth. So, yeah, it was great. We had a little video cave for the Tessera Lux stuff, and then we had a little huddle space room for our Devio product that we've been shipping for a while now. So, they do a great job with it. It just is a bang-up show, and it was great for us. So.
Was Tessera Lux top of mind for people walking into the booth, or was it pretty spread out to Tessera Lux, Devio, and other products?
Well, it was funny because at the beginning of the show, I have a picture I wish I could share with the group, but the booth was just swarmed, and there was badging problems getting into the show, I think, or something. So even with that going on, the booth was swamped. But, it's kind of spread like wildfire, so everybody's coming over to the booth saying, oh, hey, I heard you guys are doing this, or hey, I heard you're doing that, or I'd go, walk past the booth and somebody would flag me. So, yeah, I think Tessera Lux was probably front of mind for because that's a new venture for Biamp. We're jumping into the video space. So yeah, it was definitely our big arrival. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Biamp is the long timer, obviously, on this podcast, and one of the long timers in the industry. But you know what? Still coming up with innovation, and that's what keeps you guys front and center out there, Jake. There's no
problem. Yeah, we're not taking our foot off the gas either. So look for fun stuff in the future. We're gonna really put the pedal to the metal here. So it's a fun place to be right now.
Mm-hmm. I think if you look at the short term history between Tessera, as being the next generation from the Audia product line into the Tessera Forte, which is a phenomenal product that is very reliable. And then you look at Vocea and everything that's going on with Vocea. Devia, they love that product. That is the niche that you guys weren't really hitting that now you're able to be a part of. It's just natural for Lux to be the next step. And, I wish you guys nothing but luck with it. And truly, I look at Biamp always previously as the audio company. We've done a lot with your company. But literally, you this Infocom went from a small A, giant V, small B. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. And I wish you nothing but luck with it, and I'm looking forward to working with it. So I think you guys continue to just grow the product line in the direction that the industry is requiring. So the Lux product I'm sure is going to be just taking off.
Yeah, so far it's been really, really well received. Like I said, people really like the idea of programming the systems in one platform. So we're gonna keep pushing it. We've done the software bit really well for a number of years, and that's why people have geeked out over Biamp in the past, and I think they will continue to do so because our user interface for programming is second to none. So yeah, we're geeked about it. So we're happy to be part of the disruptive technology gang here. So.
Wow, look at that. After all those years, they're happy to be part of the disruptives.
So. Yeah, thank you, Corey. And you.
No, very, very good. Oh, by the way, Mike, I wanted to make sure, did you wish them luck or Lux?
Can I wish them a lucky Lux?
Or a Luxy Luck.
Call the marketing department. We've got a new one.
A Luxie Lux sounds like something that would actually just stay in Vegas.
Yeah.
It sounds like a stage name.
Let's keep that one in Vegas, please. Okay. Don't bring this Infocom next year. Forget all about that. By the way, everybody listening, forget all about what Mike just said. Okay. It doesn't count. Chris Bledsoe. On the last day on Friday, I found you guys on the perimeter of the North Hall.
Yes.
Which, you know, is always an interesting spot for anybody, traffic wise. And of course, Biamp, you know, companies like that get good top spots. Oblong got a good spot this year. So you're on the perimeter there, and tell us how it was for you guys, traffic, well, and everything else. Yeah.
I mean, for the traffic, it was insane for us. I mean, yes, you're right. We were like literally right by where you order all your equipment for the show, right?
And I saw that, yes.
In some sense, we saw a lot of other people coming by. But part of what was our value was, in last time we were on the show, we talked about it. We got this great partnership with AVISPL, and they're such a great partner for companies like us, where they continually brought over new customers and themselves came by. They did this great demo tour, and we were part of their collaboration tour for that. And so it actually brought a lot of people. What was interesting is where our booth was, we were right across the hallway from Flat Frog. Those are the guys with the lasers in the glass. And what's funny is that we'd be talking to people, showing them. So we had all five of the displays that we support. So there's 3M, Planar, Multi-Taction, Optica, and the other one, Sharp. And so you could see all five displays there. And that was the first time since I've been with the company, I've only been there a little over a year, that we had all of our displays in one location. So I thought that was really great for people to be able to see, okay, here's all these different types of touch interacting models that you can play with, and you can compare them almost side by side, and we found that to be really useful. But like Wednesday was insane for us, and we were glad we were able to come by on Friday, and you guys probably saw the same thing. It kind of slows down a little bit towards Friday. You know, usually the first 2 days are the busiest and the craziest. But next year, we're in a much better spot. So you go to Infocom, they give you a number. And that number decides what you get to pick from for the following year. So I think next year we'll have a much better position. But even though, like I said, even though we were on the perimeter, we got a ton of traffic. Mm-hmm. People were bringing by some of our partners, 3M. We actually had a BlueScape solution at their booth. And so we were happy to be there as well and demonstrating our stuff as and we actually could do a demonstration where you'd be in the 3M booth and you could be at the BlueScape booth and see the same stuff and working with it. So that was kind of fun as well. So that was probably our best show ever. This is our third year, I think, coming to Infocom. And we had lots of traffic, lots of people interested in it. A lot of AV integrators who are like going, hey, we want to sell your stuff and all that. So it was really nice.
North Hall, Central Hall, even if you showed up in Orlando by mistake this year, you probably saw BlueScape. So they were everywhere. And next year they are going to be in a more prime spot.
Oh, yeah.
That's great to hear, Chris, I must say. Now, I tell you, Friday's my day because I have a lot of meetings Wednesday and Thursday. Friday's my day to really travel the floors. I was really happy to get to you guys then. And good stuff again. And we'll wish you luck as well. How's that sound?
Excellent. Okay.
That's a new thing for this show. We wish everybody luck. Kevin Zefchik, we did talk about kind of what happened for you guys at Infocom this year. It's your first showing. And Chris, I believe, was this your first showing too?
No, this was
were you there last year?
You were there last year. This is our second year.
It's your second year. Okay. And Dave, I'm sorry. How long have you been going to Infocom now?
I think we've 3 years.
Three years. Okay.
So I think that's right.
All right. Well, so AV Stumpful, first year. I'm mistaken. So first year. Oh wait, first Wings Engine Raw 8K.
Yeah, first year.
Oh, with that's the what I meant. Yeah. Okay. How many times have you been coming?
Well, I've been to Infocom. This is my ninth year with.
Well, okay.
That's right. Since 2007 was my first year. Okay. But I think that the screen office, because we make projection screens as well.
Yep.
I think he's been coming for almost 15 years. So.
Oh, wow.
Wow. All right.
Well, let's talk Wings Engine Roy K. All right. Let's focus.
Well, how many times has Biamp been there? Biamp.
I don't know, 57, I think.
This was Biomes first
before
year.
InfoComm.
This was their first year.
It was called Biomes.
Get it right.
Yeah. Everyone wants to see Inception of InfoComm, I think.
InfoComm asked Biomes if they could have the show, you know, and Biomes said, okay, we'll just go.
I guess so.
I guess he'll be good enough for us. Yeah.
But anyway, Kevin, so with Wings Engine Raw 8K, it was a big hit. There's no question about it. The booth traffic seemed like it went very, very well for you guys.
Yeah, you know, when I got there on Monday, they had already started setting up the booth, and I got to the booth location, because you see your booth number all the time, but you don't really know where it is until you walk the show floor. And I got there, and I was just as beside myself. I said, we're not going to get anybody. We're in the corner, deep corner of Central Hall.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, next to the bathrooms, next to the
that could be a good location.
Oh, you got the
booth. You know, there's a marketing opportunity there.
Yeah, yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know if you noticed, there was a booth out front selling tacos, so you should have gotten very good traffic.
See, they were already full by the time they got to us. So, no, yeah, Wednesday started off slow. I mean, the first morning we sat there and twiddled our thumbs, but yeah, I heard something about the passes for the badges, the badge problems, and yeah.
I did hear about that.
Yeah, we can look across the show floor and see all the other booths pretty packed, but they didn't trickle down to us. So we actually saw a little bit something different this year than we normally see. You know, we see the big spike on Wednesday, and then it slows down towards the end of the week. Now we had a big spike on Thursday, you know, right before show close. I mean, I think that some of my guys were on the show floor, and they were flashing the lights, and security were telling them to leave. So the Thursday night was a great night for us. But yeah, Wednesday we started off real slow, and then we kind of picked up, and I think that's just because we're in the far back.
I'll tell you what might have done it, Kevin. So anyway,
when we start Googling, I see you have it.
Well, okay. So when we did AV Power Up, the show on Wednesday, and I think Mike got a load of this, or he may have. Katinka, I think I'm saying her name right. Had brought over a few things, and well, this one's gone through the wars, unfortunately, in my bag. Mozart.
I can't believe that actually made the flight back. Are you
Mozart sure? Balls? There it is. Yeah. Okay. All right. And we tried to hand them out on AV Power Up, but somebody made a joke that unfortunately they said put them back in the basket. But this was handed to me, and kangaroo jerky, and somebody stole my kangaroo jerky. So I have a full investigation, by the way. She was so wonderful. Give me the kangaroo jerky and this, and somebody stole that. So there's a full investigation underway. I will find you at InfoComm next year, whoever you are.
Okay? I think you can safely say Corey was hopping mad.
Chris, you can't turn back. You are a crew. Okay? Next week, Wednesday night, show up at 8 o'clock. You're in.
Katinka, our marketing and publicist, she's a great guy. So she's Australian. And,
yes, she is.
Yeah, so she gave you the kangaroo jerky.
Can I show you what else she gave me? And everybody can't see this right now, but I spent time with the queen.
Ah, nice.
Okay. And there's a picture, by the way, out there that was on Twitter, and I can put it out again. But, yes, I spent time with the queen. Katinka gave me a nice little book celebrating the queen on her 90th birthday. She's 90. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good for 90.
Yeah.
I must say. But she was fantastic. She gave me these things, and it was wonderful. And, you know, again, the jerky, I miss it, but, you know, maybe next year.
The Mozart Kugel is actually a kind of a fun story. It's an Austrian chocolate. It's darker milk chocolate surrounded by marzipan and a pistachio center. They're very popular in Austria, but they're nearly impossible to find here in the United States unless you go to a real German or Austrian store.
I've got two.
You got two.
They're going for about $1 million right now here in the U.S.
Well, that's right. Looking on eBay, trying to offer it off.
Oh, they're going on tonight. Let me tell you, if they're you can't find them here in the U.S., you can find them right here. Two of us.
So people should be aware. People should be aware, because now you're setting a standard, Kevin. Good luck.
Good luck.
Next year, they need to visit your booth so that they get the next level of chocolate, or, well, you know, actual kangaroo, a happy hour. That'll attract people. You know, that's fine.
How about chocolate-covered kangaroo jerky?
Oh, we've come up with the ultimate. If Katinka's listening,
that does sound good.
Chocolate covered kangaroo jerky next year. And by the way, you give it to me. All right, I'll make sure that it doesn't get.
Lock it up, baby. Oh yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not gonna lock it up. I'm gonna carry with me the whole show.
And then I'll steal it again.
But here's an idea: eat it.
Mike stole it. That's right. He just admitted it. I'll get you. anyway, I got to tell you what, we're gonna be wrapping this thing up. But this has been a great show with four terrific guests. So let's start with you, Dave. Tell everybody how we find out more about Oblong.
Yeah, come to oblong.com. We have demo centers around the U.S. and in London and Barcelona as well. So you can just go to oblong.com/demo, and you can get set up for an in-person demo or a web-based demo.
Excellent. Jake Corlett, all about BuyUp.
Yeah, go to buyup.com, follow us on the social medias, and look for Tessera Lux everywhere. You can follow me personally at Corlett_Jake on Twitter. So thanks again for having us.
How many followers do you have, Jake?
Real followers or
you don't need to know about those followers, Jake.
I love that.
You don't need to know about them.
I'll follow them back.
Are we talking about stalkers, Jake? I mean,
I'm a rock star. I'm a rock star compared to Paul Zeeley on Twitter.
Challenge has been thrown to Paul Zeeley.
I think it's over 100, maybe.
Your mom and dad and grandma don't count, though.
Yeah, bro.
I do not.
Thank you, Kevin. Oh, no, he's talking about his cousins, his second cousin.
Jake has 172 family members following his every move.
Yeah, Jake's trying on Facebook right now to every family.
What did you eat tonight? Okay.
I'm from the Midwest. What can I say?
That's the explanation in itself. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Chris Bledsoe, how do we find out about Bluescape?
Oh, yeah, ours is real hard. It's called bluescape.com. I mean, mm-hmm. We try to make you think about it, right?
Yeah, spell it
and of course, for our Twitter handle, it's Bluescaper. So if you use Bluescape, you're a Bluescaper. Just like I see for the rest of it, right? If you're Biamp, you're Biamper, right? Or Oblonger, right? So
whoa, okay,
yeah. Biamper.
Okay. Hey, can I add? I know people can't see Chris's background, but everything that he has, like all the colors are blue around him.
Get his shirt.
Blue desk background.
I wore blue tonight.
The wall is painted blue. Your subliminal branding is top notch,
dude. His desktop background is blue. Look at that. That's hilarious.
Meant, right? Well, that's my son's gaming platform. He's like a serious.
Cool. And you're wearing his headset too, there, by the way, right?
Oh, no, these are mine. Oh, no.
Oh, it was yours.
Oh yeah.
You got your own gaming headset. Look at you. So,
well done, Kevin, Chris.
Kevin Zefchik is wearing a blue shirt for you too, by the way, Chris.
Ah, thanks, Kevin.
He's representing. So, Kevin, tell us all we need to know about, find out more about AV Stumpfel. Wings Engine Roy K.
avstumpfel.com. You can peruse all the products on there. And then you can find all of our social media following aspects there. You can get hold of me directly, kevin@avstumpfel.com.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's it.
How do you spell that, Kevin? Can you spell it for us?
It's AV, so like AV like your industry. And then Stumpfel is STUMPFL.
Now, do you know if you all put AV before your company names? Just think about it. AV Bluescape.
Bluescape.
AV Oblong and AV Biamp.
Well,
they did put the AV and AVB.
Actually, it sounds like a Biamp AV.
Biamp.
That may be the first good marketing thing we've come up on this podcast.
So. I tell you what, go to marketing tomorrow. Jake.
No, it should be instead of .com, it's .av.
You better call VeriSign on that.
No. So Mike, take us out with one more of those that product name that you do so well.
No wrong.
Theralux Forte.
Oh, there you go. Nice. So as it gets dark in Sandy Charlo's backyard there. we know when to close the show is when it's pitch black in Sandy Charlo's backyard. Sandy, hey, listen, thank you very much for becoming a crew member on the show. This has been wonderful. And by the way, we decided she's done such a great job, we gave her vacation time already. How's that? She's going away next week.
Yeah, sorry to say, guys, I will be going on vacation. Yay!
Where are you going?
I'm going to Fenwick Island, Delaware, which is right there at the border of Ocean City, Maryland. So if I hop on one side, I'm in Delaware. If I do another hop, I'm in Maryland. So
are you taking the Lewis Ferry, or are you driving around the Route 1 route?
No, driving Route 1 all the way down.
Lewis Ferry would have been better. You should have called me.
You should have consulted your travel agent.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's right. A side job for Mike. Mike's travel agency. Yeah,
Mike is a travel agent for the agency.
Call Mike Shin if you need.
Yeah.
The humor involved here is I have zero sense of direction.
it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get where you want to go, but Mike will tell you where to go.
In a nice way.
So anyway, we're going to close this out. Sandy Charlo, thank you very much.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. I'm happy to have the chance to meet everyone, and looking forward to many more coming.
All right, we'll see you when you get back. Mike Shin, thank you very much for joining us, buddy.
Thank you, Corey, and you've been listening to AV Power Up. Thank you for listening.
I closed the show out.
You didn't hear? I'm the new host.
For your position there, Corey. Starting next week,
I'll be very happy that you just said that. Aaron Pitchback, thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Hey, it was good talking to you guys.
By the way, just give us a quick power up.
I think I can. I've been thinking a lot about all these advancements in technology, and how cool they are. But as I see all this technology connecting, people together at the speed of electrons, I can't help but wonder what's being done to connect people at a deeper level. And we've got a lot of disconnection at that level. And so with all this fancy technology, it's my advice to also connect with people at the physical level. If we want to get techie about it, let's think of the OSI layer and, we start things at the physical layer. There has to be a physical connection, and that physical connection is, you may not agree with somebody, but you can respect that person, or you may not like what somebody's wearing or what somebody does throughout their life, but if it makes them happy, that's all you would want for yourself. So again, with all this fancy technology, we have to hold in our hearts and minds that people are ultimately, or what drive these things? Customer service, well, it's about people. All this technology, well, it's about connecting people. You get rid of all that stuff, and if you cannot talk to the guy standing next to you or the gal standing next to you, we are doomed. So let's keep hope alive in people, and let's keep hope alive in really connecting people outside of Twisted Pair, outside of all the protocols we can call out, outside of layer this and layer that switch, outside of all that stuff. Let's connect people at the cellular level. And that's my AV power up for the week.
You know, I think you may have just done Justin Watts very proud. Justin does usually do the power up, but Darren Pinchback pinch hit tonight, and you did it. You did it, buddy. You knocked it out of the park.
Nailed it.
Thank you very much. Yes, we're going to close this show now. Everybody up in the air. There you go. We're going to close it up here. I want to thank my guests very much. Thank my crew. Thank you all very much for listening. And we will see you next time.